bus driver, who was up there wailing away at some fans. Eventually, they cleared the ice, and the players all had to go back to their locker rooms. They tried to restore order, and there was a very long delay during which I was partly filling time myself. There was no analyst or color man with me on the game. Part of the time, we threw it back to the studio, WSYR in Syracuse, but a good portion of the time, I'm just filling, unaware of what's going on in the lower reaches of the arena. The police had been called to try to quell what was sort of an incipient riot. They came in and some of the fans began tussling with the police. I found out afterwards that the Blazer players had barricaded themselves in the locker room because the fans were in the hallway, pounding on the door and threatening mayhem. The players were standing behind the door with their sticks raised, like they were on the ledge at the Alamo trying to fight off Santa Anna's troops. Eventually, the cops cleared the place out. They weren't going to announce the game had been forfeited and that Johnstown had to lose because they were responsible for crowd control. They pulled the Blazers team bus up as flush to the side of the arena as they could, so that the players could get out and onto the bus with as little exposure to those fans who had spilled into the parking lot as possible. They get everybody on the bus and suddenly they realize, wait a minute, we forgot Bob. I'm upstairs still broadcasting, not quite sure what's going on because they don't want to announce this to what remains of the crowd. If they say the Jets have forfeited the game, the crowd's only going to get angrier and potentially more violent. The team trainer comes back upstairs, taps me on the shoulder, explains what's happening, and I quickly relay that the game's been called off. I sign off and out the door we go. There were police in the hallways, and they kind of spirited me onto the bus. Some of the fans actually were trying to rock the bus from side to side to overturn it. You could feel it rock as we inched out at 5 miles per hour, trying not to crush anybody, but at the same time, escape. If you've seen the movie Slapshot and think that it's an exaggeration, that wasn't much of an exaggeration from the Eastern Hockey League that I knew in 73-74. There were many crazy episodes, but that was the craziest. Bob Costas, former play-by-play broadcaster, Syracuse Blazers. The other miracle on ice. Somewhere between Minnesotan Herb Brooks leading the U.S. Olympic men's hockey team to the semifinal round victory over Russia in Lake Placid in 1980, and Wayne Gretzky coming to the Los Angeles Kings in arguably the biggest trade in sports history in 88, one of the greatest NHL dynasties of all time budded and blossomed, winning 4 of their 5 Stanley Cup titles over a space of 5 seasons. The Edmonton Oilers, led by the eventual greatest goal scorer in NHL history, went from imported WHA franchise to NHL dynasty in less than 9 years. Though the New York Islanders were sporting their own dynasty at the time, thanks to players like Bill Smith, Mike Bossy, Brian Trottier, and team builder Al Arbor, the Oilers were piecing together a team that would break NHL offensive records left and right. Led by a captain who would win a record 8 straight Hart Memorial trophies, the Oilers hit a stumbling block early in their building process against a team who would claim their beloved superstar by decade's end. The biggest blow to this maturing yet overconfident team from Alberta took place on April 10, 1982, in Game 3 of the NHL's Division Semifinals playoff round in the Los Angeles Forum, some 1,750 miles south of their home, in what is commonly known around reminiscent hockey circles as the Miracle on Manchester. The most exciting game I ever did at the Forum was called the Miracle on Manchester because Manchester Avenue ran past the Forum, recalls Hall of Fame and former Los Angeles Kings play-by-play broadcaster Bob Miller. It was a playoff game against the Edmonton Oilers in April of 82 when the Oilers had Gretzky, Mark Messier, Grant Fuhr, Glenn Anderson, Paul Coffey, and all those great players. They finished so far ahead of the Kings in the regular season and then got into a best-of-5 playoff round against them. The Kings opened in Edmonton with 2 games and split those games. Everybody likes to say, playoff hockey is so tight and so defensive-minded. Well, the first game ended 10-8 in favor of the Kings. Here's a playoff game and it's 10-8. Then the Oilers won the next game to even the series. It came back to Los Angeles, and most